John, I want to point out to us that there are many things about God that I can't fathom completely and understand. And as much as I study the Word of God, and as much as I, you know, further examine things and read, there are going to be things that I just don't fully understand. And if you're honest, you have to say the same thing. At some point, as created beings, we have to be okay with that. At some point, because we are the creation, God's the creator, we have to be okay and rest in the fact that there are things about God that we cannot fully comprehend and understand. Commentator, writer, pastor Warren Wiersbe, he tells the following story. Let me share this with you. He says, the great American statesman Daniel Webster was dining in Boston with a group of distinguished men, some of whom had Unitarian leanings. The Unitarians deny the Trinity and the deity of both the Son and the Spirit. When the subject of religion came up at the table, Webster boldly affirmed his belief in the deity of Jesus Christ and his confidence in his work of atonement. But Mr. Webster, said one man, can you comprehend how Christ could be both God and man? No, sir, I cannot. I cannot comprehend it, Webster replied. If I could comprehend him, he would be no greater than myself. I feel I need a superhuman Savior. Because we may not understand all there is to know about God, it doesn't mean that we don't embrace the truth and examine closely and study what He has given to us and revealed to us. That we have, and that we can know better and know Him better through it. But we must be careful not to be open to every, as the Bible puts it, every wind of doctrine. Ephesians 4:14. Read this out loud with me. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Every wind of doctrine. That means while we don't say we know everything there is to know about God, we are firmly grounded and established in what He has given to us. You see that? There's a difference there. John MacArthur writes, spiritually immature believers who are not grounded in the knowledge of Christ through God's Word are inclined to accept uncritically every sort of beguiling doctrinal error and fallacious interpretation of Scripture promulgated by deceitful, false teachers in the church. If you're not grounded firmly in the revealed Word of God, then you are inclined to accept uncritically anything that comes. And that must not be. We must be grounded. We must have a firm foundation and not be shaken from that foundation that is not our feelings, not a wonderful church service with wonderful singing, but is the Word of God. That's our foundation. Let's pray as we continue on from here, though. Lord, would you work in our hearts again today, afresh, anew. Lord, thank you for the songs that we've sung together as a body in Christ. That's encouragement to us. We pray that it's been a blessing to your ears. Lord, thank you for the testimony Josh sung about coming to faith and the freedom that salvation brings to us from our very inner being. And Lord, if there's any in this place who have yet to experience that themselves, Lord, work in that person's heart, and may they come to faith in the only one who can save them. Reveal to us what you want us to hear today, and may we yield ourselves to you in Jesus' name. And we say together, amen. So in our text, which is verse 4 on to the end of the chapter, I believe 13, We see some instruction from the Apostle John once again. And the first is this, that we must walk in the truth. Let's start in verse number 4. I rejoice greatly, John writes, that I have found some of your children walking in truth. By the way, who's the your children? Who's the your? The elect lady from verse 1. Okay, we looked at this last week. And it's my position that this elect lady is referring to a church and her children, members of that said church. He says, I found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. So he's talking about those who are walking in the truth. To walk in the truth means more than just study about it, and it's more than just knowing it. To walk in the truth is obeying it, doing it. There's a big difference in knowing it, learning about it, and walking in it. Notice the opening and closing of the paragraph. There's an emphasis on walking. The emphasis is on the commandment and walking in it. He says, I've noticed some of your children walking in the truth. And then at the end in verse 6, that you should walk in it. But notice now, first of all, the reason for John's joy. He says, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth. So the joy that he had, that he was rejoicing with, was that there were children of the elect lady who were walking in the truth. It says some of your children. It's not necessarily indicating that there were some that were walking in the truth. There were some that were not and were led away by false teachers. Not necessarily. It's possible, but it's also likely possible that he's saying, I know some of the members of this church. I know some of the children of this elect lady. I don't know everyone, but those that I've seen walking in the truth, and this brings me great joy. I'm rejoicing in this. It brings great joy when a parent hears a report of their children doing well, doing something well, or walking with the Lord. No parent likes to receive a call from school, from the principal, saying, I need you to come in, Mr. Young, and we need to talk about your child. You don't want that call, do you? But at other times, I've talked with people, and they might have had one of our kids over and spent some time with them, and they may come to me and say, Ken, that I just want to tell you that your kid has been a real blessing. It's been a joy having them over. And that makes my heart just swell with pride. I like to hear that because they're my children, and I love them, and I want to hear that they are striving to please the Lord and striving to, you know, love others as well. And that's a joyful thing to hear. And that's kind of the joy that John has here when he sees this lady, this church, and her children, the members of it, and how they're walking with the Lord. They're walking faithfully. Charles Spurgeon, English preacher of the 1800s, he tells of a time that he lived with his grandfather. And the grandfather pastored a church in England. There was a church member named Rhodes who used to sit in the local pub and drink beer and smoke. And this practice grieved the elder pastor very much. One day, young Charles said to his grandfather, I'll kill old Rhodes. That I will. I shall not do anything bad, but I'll kill him though, that I will. He was so angry. What did young Spurgeon do? He confronted Rhodes in the pub, and he said this to him, What dost thou hear, Elijah, sitting with the ungodly, and you a member of a church, and breaking your pastor's heart? I'm ashamed of you. I wouldn't break my pastor's heart, I'm sure. It was not long before Rhodes showed up at the pastor's home, confessing his sins and apologizing for his behavior. Young Spurgeon had killed him indeed. The reason for John's joy to hear of those that are faithfully walking in the truth. Are you faithfully walking in the truth, Christian? The second thing I want to look at is the foundation of walking in truth. What is the foundation? He says, as in verse 4, as we receive commandment from the Father. That's the foundation of the walking in the truth. The truth can be vague and unclear if we're not careful. Just hold on to the truth. Know the truth. The truth shall set you free. But the commandment here of the Father gives meaning. The commands given of the Father are an expression of His love to us. Obedience to His revelation is an expression of our love back to Him. Jesus is the one that said several times, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. If you love me, listen to what I am saying. Listen to what I'm teaching. Obey it. You say you love me. His commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not burdensome. In 1 John 5, verse 3, John wrote, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. It's not a burden to fulfill the desires of the one who loves you. When I married Miss Jen, there were some commandments that I had to abide by. They were unspoken, and she didn't give me a written list of commandments that I had to abide by. But I knew there were some commandments, amen? One is that she would not tolerate me and share me dating anybody else ever again. That's an unwritten commandment that I understood. Another is that my first loyalty must always be to her and her alone. So she's a jealous wife, amen? But the list goes on of things that I understood when I married Jen, what was expected. And you know what? I didn't enter into that as a burden. I didn't say, man, this is tough, Jen. I can't believe you have all these things that you would ask of me to do. No, contrary, I found it a joy. And I willingly said, yes, of course. Of course I don't desire anybody else. And you will be my first priority from this time on. Except for God, of course. But you're going to be my priority, Jen. And the commandments were not burdensome. False teachers come and they try to make God sound harsh and difficult. And they are trying to offer their converts true freedom. But the greatest freedom we have is when we are obedient to His revealed will to us. And there's great freedom in walking in the will of God. And then we see John's plea. He has a plea in verse 5. Look at this. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. And so he pleads with them. He wanted the elect lady and her children to love one another. John already dealt with this in 1 John 2 quite extensively. And by the way, what is the very first thing that's mentioned in Galatians 5 as far as the fruit of the Spirit goes? The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. The very first one. The fruit of the Spirit is love. I thought you guys just did the fruit of the Spirit recently. You know this. love. By the way, is it possible to command someone to love another person? Can you command love? I would suggest, yes, you can. But you must understand what Christian love is. Many have the funny idea that love is a feeling, and of course you can't command a feeling. I command you to feel something towards another person. You can't command that. But Christian love is different. Christian love is an act. It's an act of the will. And this is why husbands are commanded to love their wives as Christ loved the church. God isn't commanding you to develop a feeling inside. But he says, you are to do this. It's a verb. You're to love your wife. The funny thing and the amazing thing, the good thing, wonderful thing that happens, though, is as you obey the command to love your wife, as you obey the command to love your wife, then the feelings part of it follow as well. So you want to have greater feelings toward your wife, then love her. You understand? If you want to have those warm feelings that you had when you were dating, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Give yourself for her. Put it into action. Do loving things. Be loving, and then the feelings will come too. But if you're just waiting for the feelings to well up inside naturally and just come, just fall in love, good luck with that. So John says we must walk in the truth. And then secondly, we see we must abide in the truth. Walk and abide. Verse 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. There's deceivers. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves. That we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Okay, so we have some deceivers. We have some false teachers. Where did these false teachers come from? It says that they have gone out into the world, indicating that they came from the church. They were at some time part of a church, part of a lady, an elect lady in this instance. They've gone out into the world. And friends, the fact that there are false teachers out there, we cannot take lightly. And again, recently, it was reaffirmed, even here. I want to share with you a brief testimony that was given to me to share by somebody here in the church. Many of you know Kay Mongato. She's a young lady, often plays guitar, and she's a sweet young lady. She loves the Lord, but she wrote this for me to share with you. Listen carefully. She said, this past August, I experienced being deceitfully recruited into a cult which is called the Shincheonji. You have to look it up. It's based in South Korea. I met a new girl at church, and she said she was just visiting IBC. After service, we had a good brief chat, and I asked her for her number and with the intention of inviting her to Life Group and just to make her feel welcome to IBC. And so the next day, we caught up over coffee and got to know each other better. She then invited me to come along to see her missionary friend who just came back to New Zealand to hear stories about her mission trip and also to talk more about God. This missionary friend then initiated to do Bible studies with me and the other girl and said that I cannot tell anyone else about it. She used verses in the Bible to justify that I should keep this a secret. Her argument was, God allows unusual things like lying to fulfill his own will. Just like how Rebecca asked Jacob to pretend to be Esau so he can get the blessing from his father. Initially, it was very difficult to discern that it was false teaching as they used the scripture to justify what they're doing. I was referred to another Bible study, which is a more comprehensive one. They met 3 times a week for 6 months. I went to 2.5 weeks thinking this Bible study was sound until I received a warning that there has been a deceitful cult going around Auckland and Wellington churches, pretending as newcomers to recruit others. She concludes, God has graciously protected me from being brainwashed by the cult. From this experience, I learned that it's very important to always be in the Word and to keep accountable with our church family. It is also important that we ask God for discernment when we hear false doctrine disguised as sound doctrine from others and be courageous enough to reject it. That's the end of her testimony. It's just a reminder. There are false teachers everywhere. And my goodness, if a false teacher comes and says, hey, I got a Bible study I'd like you to come to when visiting your church, that's a caution flag for one thing. Should be the other way around. Invite them to come to your Bible studies. And then if they start saying, it's a secret, don't tell anyone else about this, that should be another caution flag. My goodness, we have a hard enough time encouraging others to tell people about your Bible studies. Maybe that's reverse psychology. You can't tell anyone. Top secret. Really. But look into the Shincheonji thing. It is scary, and you need to be aware. Be aware. Of course, we want to welcome everybody coming in, and our desire to get to know them and make them feel that they can belong. That, you know, and so be friendly. We don't have to be paranoid, but we need to be aware. And we've since found that there's large numbers of people in Wellington, even some churches that we're aware of, that have lost a number of people to this group. And there's others in Auckland as well. So be aware of these things. Be aware of such. And I appreciate Kay for the discernment I believe that God has given her. And her parents, I know, were also very encouraging and helpful with her in this. So praise the Lord for that discernment. In regards to the deceivers that John is writing of, there are many. Why are there many deceivers? Well, Peter tells us in 2 Peter 2:2, and many will follow their destructive ways. There's many deceivers because there's many people that are willing to follow destructive ways. Does that make sense? There's many people willing to follow a lie, listen to the lies, entertain them, and so that produces much more false teachers and deceivers. Mark Twain said that a lie runs around the world while truth is still putting on her shoes. That makes sense. A lie runs around the world while truth is still putting on her shoes. Fallen human nature tends to be drawn to lies while at the same time they resist the truth of God. That's fallen human nature. Okay, if we can understand human nature in our fallenness, humanity, we understand. we understand what this is talking about. So there are many deceivers, and John also refers to them as a word, antichrists. Okay, this is the small letter antichrist, not the big letter antichrist. The Bible in Revelation speaks of the antichrist and how he will be used in the end times, what he will be doing. This is not him. So every false teacher is not the antichrist, but they are antichrist. The Greek word anti means instead of or against. So any who is teaching a different Jesus, a different gospel, is instead of the Jesus of the Bible. They are against the Jesus of the Bible if they are not teaching the Jesus of the Bible. So John says they are the antichrist or an antichrist. They substitute a different Christ that is not the Christ of our faith. So one of the things to ask any teacher or preacher, self-proclaimed, is what do you think about Jesus Christ? Is he truly God in the flesh? And if he hesitates, or if he denies this in some way or form, avoid. Avoid. John gives a couple of warnings here. First of all, be careful not to go backwards. He says in verse 8, look to yourselves that you do not lose the things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Be careful, keep alert, keep watch that we don't lose the things we've worked for. We're not talking here about salvation, the things we've worked for, because we cannot work for salvation. John wanted them, though, to receive the full reward of faithfulness to God on Judgment Day. The Judgment Day. We've talked about this many times here. There is a Judgment Day, the Bema Seat Judgment, where we all stand before the Lord and we receive the things, the rewards for the things that we've done in the flesh, or we suffer loss. This is the Judgment Day, and John wanted them not to go backwards, but to go forwards and be faithful to the end, that you may stand before the judge and receive the rewards for faithfulness in your service to him. And then he says to be careful not to go too far ahead. Don't fall backwards, but don't go too far ahead. Verse 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. The danger here that he's talking about is going beyond the limits of what God's Word gives to us. That word transgress, whoever transgresses, that word here means to run ahead too far, farther than what God has given to us, or past the assigned limits. Stay with what God's Word says, in other words. False teachers like to give the impression that they somehow are more progressive and they have some exciting new things, and the church itself is old and stale, and they're backwards, they have more exciting things to offer. In this context, he's referring to those denying the Son, who Jesus is. Who is Jesus Christ? And he says, if you have the doctrine of the Son right, you have the Son and the Father. Okay, you have it right. But we also see today many going beyond God's doctrines, many transgressing God's word in regards to many other things, progressive teachings on hell. We have Christian writers who are basically writing that there's no such thing as hell anymore, or going beyond God's limits on biblical teaching of marriage between a man and a woman. This is the biblical understanding of marriage. Biblical understandings of holiness, sexual purity. There's many things in the Word of God, but we have many self-professed Christian teachers and writers who are going beyond the things that God has given. Be careful not to get too far ahead, Don't lose what we have gained. And thirdly, be careful not to go along with them. Verse 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house or greet him. He who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Now, John is not saying here that only Christians should be allowed in your house. Okay, I don't believe that. I believe God desires us to have genuine friendships outside of the faith and be hospitable to unbelievers. It's going to be hard to win them over to the Lord when we don't even let unbelievers into our house or greet them. Okay? It's going to be very hard to win someone to Christ with such behavior. What John is talking about, though, is false teachers who are continuously trying to take others away from the faith. Why not receive him into your house or even greet him? Again, Wiersbe suggests three reasons for this. The first reason is to not give the false teacher any impression that his doctrine is acceptable. It's not acceptable. This is not Christian. And so we don't want to give any impression that, oh yeah, we're a bit different, but it's okay. No, that's not acceptable. No, and the second reason is to not become infected yourself. Again, human nature. You're told something long enough, and you can believe it. That's human nature. If you don't understand that, if you think you're too intellectually superior than that, then you don't understand human nature. Be careful what you meditate on, what you allow into your heart and your mind. But thirdly, to not give the false teacher ammunition at the next place he goes. In other words, to be able to say, there's no reason why you shouldn't listen to me. After all, I met with Pastor Ken and he invited me in and we had a great talk. Oh, really? I know Pastor Ken. He's all right. You know, he sticks to the Word of God. So come on, let's talk. And so he says, no, don't bring them into your house. Don't even greet them. Mark them. Be careful of them. And then we're going to close with, well, his closing remarks. Verse 12. He says, having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink. But I hope to come to you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. He wants to see them personally. And then he concludes, the children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. Okay. Again, this is another reason why I think the elect sister is a church. Elect lady is a church. And the children are members. Because otherwise, what he's concluding with this strange closing statement saying, your nieces and nephews greet you. That's what he's saying here. Your nieces and nephews greet you as well. Why not your sister? Well, as mentioned, this elect lady seems to be the church. And so he's closing saying that the children, the members of your sister church, another church, your sister church in the Lord, and the members of that church also want to greet you. And we encourage you. And we care for you. We love you as well. Walk in the truth. Abide in the truth. I appeal to you as a brother in Christ and as the pastor of this flock of God, be aware of false teachings around you. Stay in the fellowship and accountability of the church, your church, the Word of God, your pastors, teachers, and leaders who are there to encourage you and shepherd you and hold you accountable as well. Stay in close fellowship with them. We need each other. May we heed John's words this morning as if he just wrote them. Let us stand, please. eyes closed and head bowed for a moment. And friends, this is our time between you and the Lord, you know, to respond to the Lord and what He is leading in your heart. And I don't know all your hearts. I don't know your needs. But maybe God is speaking to you about something important right now. Could be your salvation. It could be your obedience to the Word. Maybe there's something in your life that He's convicting you about. Could be your knowledge of the Word that may be lacking, and you realize that you're perhaps one that is easily led to and fro and through by every wind of doctrine. I don't know. Maybe there's some things that, you know, you just need to deal with the Lord. Do that this morning. If you need to talk with somebody or pray with somebody, this is your invitation. Come forward. Come forward. Share with me. Share with me what God is burdening your heart about. Would you respond to Him? Come right now. I'll lead us together in prayer in just a moment. But the invitation for your response is open. Whatever your need is, come. Father, Lord, I thank You for Your Word, John's letter here. Lord, I pray that we would walk in the truth, that we would be a church that abides in the truth. Lord, may we be aware. May we be people of the Word. Lord, may we be more committed to one another, more committed to Your Word and to knowing Your Word. Lord, may we be more committed to being led by the pastors and the teachers that You bring to us. Lord, thank You for this place. Thank You for this church. I pray Your protection upon it. Lord, as we've seen just recently, there's been others who have come in with other motives and purposes. And I thank You for Your protection. But Lord, watch over this elect lady. And I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated for a few minutes.
Thank you for the message this morning. We have just a few announcements that we would like to share with you, and then we'll be dismissed for our Sunday school class time. In your bulletins, under notices, now, we had a new members class that was scheduled, and it was scheduled to start on this Sunday, but we are going to reschedule that. We haven't got a date just yet for the new members class, so stay tuned to that. If it's something that you're interested in, if you've been attending the church here for some time but you're not a member and you're interested in becoming a member, just see Pastor Ken, and as quickly as we can put together the new dates, we will let you know. The Spring Festival, we've talked a lot about that over the last few weeks. The Spring Festival this coming week on Thursday, the 31st of October at 6:30 to 8:30, the nautical theme. So you're invited to come along, bring your friends and your family, your neighbors. There's something here for everyone. The adults, they'll have something going on as well. Now notice the time at 6:30 to 8:30. In years past, we've kind of had it as a floating time. You could kind of come in whenever you like and just go through. This year, it has a start time at 6:30. So what that means is that if you come in at 7 o'clock, you're going to be missing a significant part of the beginning part. So try to be here just around at 6:30 for the starting time, and then we'll be finished up at 8:30 with some cleanup after that. The Bible Training Center that we do on Thursday nights, well, it's going to be canceled this coming Thursday because we're having the Spring Festival here at the church. And then also the ones who went on the Israel trip just a few weeks ago, they're going to be sharing with you next Sunday during the Sunday school hour, they're going to be sharing some slides and a video and tell a little bit about the trip as well as some questions that you may have, and they'll try to provide as many answers as they can. We have a youth outing coming up at the trampoline park. Did you want to mention something on that, Josh? Nope, just everything that's up there. Is that all correct? So that's on the Saturday, the 9th of November from 11 o'clock to 12 noon, $17 for the cost on that. So for our teen group, they're allowed to bring some friends along if they'd like to. Yep, bring friends along to that as well. So see Josh and Denise. The summer youth camp also coming up at Lake Taupo the 14th through the 17th of January. So did you want to say something on that one? Okay.
Okay, so it's about that time again. Summer's coming up. Doesn't feel like it, but it's coming, I promise. So we got summer camp. It's going to be on the second week of January. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be going, instead of back north like we did last year, we're going to be going down south to Taupo. And they got a summer camp down there with the churches that we normally have winter camp with. So all the churches that we have winter camp with, they're going to be down there in summer camp in January. So the cost is a lot cheaper than what we were expecting, which is $185 for a whole week at camp, which is really good. So if you can, start thinking about if you are going to be able to come, and please sign up and let us know if you're going to be able to make that. Okay, so it'll be a really, really good time, and the speaker, I think, is going to be pretty good as well. So.
You up for that, Josh? No, still looking. Well, if they can't find anybody, maybe they'll call you to do it. Hey, we have, in our missions, continue to pray for our missionaries. One of our missions that we support is the Bible League New Zealand. One of the things that the Bible League New Zealand does is they send Bibles over to the ladies, well, all the prisons, but specifically the ladies' prisons that we're connected with here, where we have Gina and some of the ladies that go into the prison. Gina was just telling me that the Bible League... their Bibles that they send in, they've used all the Bibles for this year. They don't get another shipment in until December. So they're praying that this shipment will be able to get here in December so that the ladies who are leaving the prison, imagine this, you've served your time, you've done some Bible study, you've been introduced to Christ. One of the most significant things that you can take with you when you're leaving the prison after serving your time is a Bible to get life started in the right direction. And so continue to pray for them that the Bibles would get there before the first of the year. I think that's all of our announcements, other than to remind you of our missionary letters that are in the back, so continue to pray for each of our missionaries. Before we're dismissed for our Sunday school class, maybe you're celebrating a birthday or a wedding anniversary, and we'd like to celebrate with you. Anyone with a birthday this coming week? Anyone with a birthday coming up? How about wedding anniversaries? Any wedding anniversaries? Birthdays, anniversaries, no one? All right, well, we're going to be dismissed in a time of prayer. Pastor Ken's going to come and dismiss us. Sunday school starting right at 10 o'clock. The adult class will be right in here, continuing on with our creation to Christ. The other classes in the back room as well.
Let's stand and be dismissed. So, Father, thank you for your word to us. May we leave here, Lord, fully committed to you. May we, Lord, walk in your ways. May we, Lord, abide in the truth. May we be the light in our world, in our community. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. See you in a few minutes.